Indeed. Let us get to work here. Hello and welcome to Article 5 Live once again. I'm J.D. Smith, your host, coming to you live from somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona. And we're back home. And we have quite a lot to say about what's going on. First of all, I'd just like to say that the reports on there being only a million people there at in Washington, D.C. this last week, I think are erroneous. I would say they're about 50% light. I would say 1.5 million is more accurate. As you can see behind me in the photo that I took from the porch of the Capitol building, just for the record, I never went in. I was close. If you look right down here, that is Constitution Avenue. Off of the screen, that way. I can't point right, but over here, further off the screen would be another street just as packed, which was Pennsylvania Avenue. So if you could blow that up, you could see as far back as you could see that it's just packed with a sea of people. And that was the march to the Capitol, which was totally peaceful. I was marching alongside a 71-year-old man from Florida. He was even slighter and smaller than I am, and he was using his American flag pretty much as a walking stick. And we were talking and enjoying the march, and our purpose was to go to the Capitol grounds and make our point to the people inside that we're here. And we know what you're doing. There was never any intention in that entire crowd to do any harm to the Capitol grounds or even put litter on it. From our position in about the front 20% of the march, because I left slightly before the president was done speaking, I would say 5 or 10 minutes before the president was done speaking, I decided I wanted to head down to the Capitol and beat, you know, not be stuck way down the street like you see these guys are. So it ended up, I came down and got there. And when we got to the Capitol grass, there was no sign of any barriers. There was no sign of any police trying to actually stop us, except way there, up there on the Capitol steps, there was a few police who were hurling tear gas, pepper spray, and flashbangs at the crowd, which served to do one thing. It pissed everybody off. Let me tell you something. If you want to piss off a couple of 100,000 angry patriots who just had their election stolen from them, throw some tear gas at them. I don't know who thought that was a good plan, but it wasn't. It actually culpably changed the demeanor of the crowd from peaceful march to everyone was very pissed off. I don't know, something about having tear gas thrown at you makes you kind of angry. And it doesn't do any kind of deterring. It makes you go forward, not backward, I found out. Okay? So anyway, when we got up closer, there was just a sea of packed sardine people. You couldn't get out of there. If you decided you wanted to turn around, it wasn't going to happen. I decided I didn't want to turn around anyway. I wanted to make it up to the front door. So I got smashed for, you know, another 20, 30 minutes until I got to a place where I could crawl under the scaffolding and go up the stairs. And there was a way up to go up the stairs under the scaffolding that was in the middle, not the scaffolding that was off on the right that the guys had stormed that earlier. But anyway, I got up to the porch and I saw, you know, there's people walking in and around. The double doors were open. Patriots were walking in peacefully and Patriots were walking out peacefully. It was kind of like a big party up in there. So I climbed up these scaffolding stairs to where I took this picture. So I was about a half a flight of stairs up above the deck, maybe a flight of stairs up above the main landing, right where you walk into the Capitol. And I turned around, took this picture and sent it to a friend of mine. And then shortly after that, there was police down over here on the porch, on the landing there. There was a line of, I would say maybe 50 full riot gear Capitol Police in formation standing back. And there was a bunch of Patriots building an ad hoc barrier from all the construction materials that were laying around. They were putting a big pile of them to block those police officers off. And then there was, then I noticed from the other side came about 100 police officers in riot gear. And then from behind came another column and they were trying to, you know, I don't know what they were trying to do, but I wanted to get the hell out of there at about that time because I really didn't want to get arrested. So about that time, police officers started coming up the scaffolding and they started to put their hands on me. I said, hey, I'm leaving, you know. And he just motioned real quick, get on down. Okay, I did. And that happened to about six other officers on my way out. And then I encountered the people that claimed that they, you know, were in Nancy Pelosi's office. And I encountered, right about the time that I came down from the scaffolding, a guy came running out and said, they shot a girl. They killed a girl in there. So that's what the time frame that I was on the porch. And there was a lot of other details I won't really go into. It was pretty wild. It was more anti-establishment than I personally wished to be. I wanted to be on there. I wanted to be part of the crowd letting those scoundrels know that we know what they're up to. I wanted to be part of that. But as you've seen probably the videos, the mainstream media has really made this a federal case, no pun intended, about, nothing's been done to the Capitol like this since the British in 1814. What a bunch of bull crap. The Patriots inside the place were picking up trash, staying within the velvet roped lines, and beating the crap out of the Antifa who were pounding the windows. The Antifa was infiltrated in with us. There was people in grayish-green helmets, and they had respirators on, full mask, and they had Trump bumper stickers on the back of their green helmets. Yeah, right, that's a Trump supporter carrying weapons and crap like that into the Capitol. Give me an ever-loving break. I've been to a hell of a lot of Trump rallies here in Arizona, and Trump people don't dress like that. Antifa dresses like that. Black Lives Matter dresses like that, only they have the black thing going on, the black clothing and all that crap. So does Antifa when they are in that mode. But they were trying to blend in, but they were in full gear. They were prepared to have a crap beat out of them by police batons and stuff like that. None of us were. We were just walking around in our regular clothes. I think you guys know what's up. We were infiltrated by Antifa, who led some of the people who were pissed off enough. Because let's face it, people that went into the Capitol weren't just Antifa. Okay, we know that. There were plenty of other people that went in Antifa, into the Capitol. I absolutely think that we were well within our rights, actually, to go within the Capitol. Well, nobody was within the rights to destroy any property or attack any police. However, many of you may or may not know the police let us in there. There were people taking selfies with the police inside the Capitol building. There were people, the police move the barriers out of our way in some of the places where all this happened. These are not the things you're going to hear in Newsmax or Fox or any of the absolutely ridiculous media. So coming from the perspective, now, just because I was there, that doesn't mean I saw everything that was going on, obviously, too, because there's an awful lot of people there doing an awful lot of crazy stuff that I didn't see. But I can relate to you the general mood of what everybody was in. And I can also tell you that when they shot us with tear gas and pepper spray, that really pissed us off. I can tell you that right now. I went from somebody who was just righteously indignant and wanted to make my presence known to somebody as I was going up to the Capitol doors. And before that, I had no intention of doing that. It just happens to you. You're in a crowd like that, and all of a sudden, your emotions blend in with everybody else's. There's a massive amount of energy, and there's pretty much nothing you can do about it. And Antifa knows the psychological workings of that. That's why they send some provocateurs in there to get shit going. And some of our people probably did commit some, you know, minor vandalism and things like this. And, you get knuckleheads going in there and sitting in Nancy Pelosi's desk and putting their feet on a table. And I, be honest with you, I thought that was kind of funny. These people deserve to be mocked. These people that believe they're so far above us. They were actually shown in a not so subtle way, they're not that far above us. And if it wasn't for our taxpayer money protecting their worthless criminal asses, we just walk in there and take care of business ourselves. We sent that message. So those of you that want to be critical about the patriots that went there to the Capitol to make their freaking point, just keep in mind, the left's allowed to burn cities down, flip cop cars, kill a bunch of people, and they're glorified for that. A few patriots get pissed off and break into the Capitol and have a seat in Nancy Pelosi's, and all of a sudden, we're Satan's spawn. Now, should we have done that? Probably not. We fell into a kind of a trap. But I got to tell you, without the Antifa and other elements causing the sentiment, that would have never happened that way. We would have stayed outside. We would have went right up to the building. And, you know, I think there was enough cops that were on our side. The cops would have probably let us in the building. Because there were cops that let the barriers through and let us in the building. So, you know, I don't know how much you've heard, what websites you've been on that's talked about it, what things you've heard, but I'm telling you, there's some people got out of line a little bit, but there was Antifa. When the Antifa were smashing the windows and stuff, they came way before the rest of us and got into it, the cops, by the way. That was all before the main people from the speech got there. But anyway, I don't know exactly everything about everything, but I was there, and I can tell you this. It almost worked. If it wasn't for a few people that were emotional enough to follow the Antifa's lead and do some things that probably shouldn't have been done. But I got to tell you, that's the very tiny, teeniest percent of a couple of hundredths of 1% of the front people did that. You know, maybe 50 to 100 people were, you know, in the wrong. The rest of everybody knew how to behave themselves and did. And the cops knew that too, you know. So the problem is, it worked well enough. Well, let me just say this. It was supposed to be, I believe, an orchestrated disaster that they could blame on all the Trump supporters. I mean, the Capitol was supposed to burn that day. You can hear the leader of, I believe it's a BLM unit from Salt Lake City, inside the Capitol on video saying, we got to burn this thing. That guy has been arrested, but I think they let him go, too. A known activist. I think they were going to burn the Capitol, and then all of us that were there, all these people you see in the backdrop, were going to get blamed for that. So in that way, they failed. In the way I explained earlier, we failed because, you know, we had our guy from Arizona with the horns, you know, Mr. Q Shaman, you know, his ass is in federal custody right now. Because, you know, he decided to go inside the Capitol. Freaking Jake. You know, if you want to hear Jake and what he's all about, if you go to my page, Article 5 Live, and you scroll down far enough till you get to the July 4th demonstration in the Arizona State Capitol, I interviewed Jake for about, 20 minutes or so, and he ran down all the things that he believes. And basically, if you want to get into his electromagnetic, you know, dimensional bull crap, or maybe it's not bull crap, but I don't think he's as much of a shaman as he is a, you know, I want to be the center of attention guy. But I don't hate Jake, and I'm not down on the true believers of the Q movement, but I got to tell you something. The plan is not working. And President Trump has exactly 10 days and almost zero power. And this is not good, you guys. So just hold on 1 second. All right. So, I have a lot of friends that believe in the Q movement. And, I don't know why somebody that's being so straightforward would have to be so cryptic. I've always had a problem with that personally. I want to believe that there's a plan. And it's just not been executed yet. Yeah, that would be wonderful. But as each second ticks by, I think the likelihood of that is less and less. And our great president is under siege and has been the entire time and virtually alone in this city that has been taken over by criminals a long time ago. But what all this stuff does is it shines a light on that. We the Patriots aren't going away, but we got to be smarter than the people that are oppressing us, okay? What China and the New World Order and those the criminal elements that own the major corporations that have taken over our governments through social media aid and media aid and all the other turncoat traitors of all different stripes and degrees, whether they be in government or media or education or any of that stuff. What we got to be smarter than them, because their agenda, we're going to get into agenda later too. Their agenda for us is for we the Patriots to take up kinetic arms against the system, which is a losing proposition at this point. Because we're not organized. So that's what they want. And they've got everybody so pissed off that that's a real danger right now. We're going to try and take things into our own hands as citizens and deal with the criminal theft of our country and our election and our seat of power as the people, our only viable box. Are two, you all heard the three boxes. You got the soapbox, they took that through censorship. You got the ballot box, and they stole that from us. That leaves us only one box left, and it's the ammo box. And by God, we do not want to open that box, my friends. Like I said, if we do open the ammo box, they're organized, we're not. and we will be defeated. That we have to be smarter than what these criminal assholes want us to do, and that's fight kinetically. That's what they want. Can't do it. That's why when we stormed the Capitol, that was okay. When we stayed outside before any property was harmed or any people were harmed, that was okay. When you cross that line of destruction of property and fighting the police and all that, that's a bridge too far. You can't do that. You can't do the violence thing. And before any uprising, any revolution could possibly be an instrument to save this nation, we the people have to be organized in such a manner where we can be smart about how we do it. And that is not where we are now. We're mad at each other. We're disorganized. There's this faction, that faction. And it'll be an absolute disaster if we try to take control of this government when we are not in any shape to be in control of ourselves, let alone the government. So do not fall for the BS that they want us to. They want to push us and push us so far that we would do that. And it gives them every excuse in the world to clamp down on us unconstitutionally, like they're already doing. By the way, so one of the things we can do to help get organized is get off of the trackable technology. Well, how do we communicate? Well, this might sound a little arcane to some of you folks, but there's a little thing called ham radio. Now, if you're not a ham, spend 10, 12, 15, 20 hours, study about it, and become one and get some gear. Because you don't have to get into the big towers and all that kind of stuff. As long as there's such a thing as an internet, guess what? There's $50 radios now, coupled with a little bit of technology and an internet connection. You can talk all over the freaking world on a ham radio. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out how to do that. It does take a little bit of a learning curve. So here's what we're going to have to do. Because they're going to take this platform away from me and all of you as well. Anybody that would dare don an American flag tie or put a Trump hat on or is on record somewhere or somehow of being in support of this administration, i.e. the Trump administration, you're not only going to be demonized, they're going to cut your bank account. They're going to stop you from doing business. They're going to stop you from being able to live. So if you think you're going to be able to communicate on social media, email, all that stuff, it's all going away, folks. You're not going to have what they're going to have because they know we need to organize. If we can't organize, they got us. So they're going to take away all the current means that people are using to organize. It's real hard for them to take away the airwaves. That's why certain factions and elements of our military still use radio to this day when we have so much, you know, advanced technology. Yes, radio can be jammed, but you can't jam all radio all at once like you can the internet. So anyway, I just have to throw that out there. Those of you who are so inclined, ever thought about it, need to become ham radio operators. You need to know how to do it. You need to know how to use communication that is point-to-many communication, which is a standalone, off-the-grid radio broadcast. And we're going to organize certain frequencies that are used for certain things. And, you know, Nathan says, what about phones? Well, phones, you have massive corporations in control of all the cell towers. If you're a ham radio operator, you are the only one in control of your radio station. Your individual radio is a radio station. And that's a big difference, Nathan, because phones are, they are in control of the infrastructure. That's the problem. They control the infrastructure. Anytime you use your phone, you're using billions of dollars of infrastructure on the back end. You have no control over. And I'm trying to give you the idea that they will put us in a position where we can't communicate with each other. And I'm telling you, you better figure out how to do it around all the corporate and crap, including your phone carrier. This ain't going to cut it. So there's, I'm going to jump off my soapbox when it comes to amateur radio. You people that are inclined or think you're able to do it need to do that, and not now, yesterday. And I am not, I am talking, I've been a ham radio operator for 8 years. And I'm not the best, smartest technical guy in the world, but I know my way around the amateur radio bands a bit. And it does take a learning curve, so you better get started now. Okay, you better get started now. And don't tell me this crap about CB. Listen. CBs, unless you're a radio technician, you're going to get 4 watts of power, which is not enough. A. B. The people that occupy that frequency range in the CB band are into playing country music over the air, cussing, getting drunk, doing all kinds of things, you know, other than, you know, serious communications. So get your ass off the chicken band and learn about amateur radio, because you know who's on there? Police officers, former military, current military, medical professionals, pilots, radio engineers, broadcast engineers, broadcasters, regular people that love radio, electronic type people, digital people. These are the kind of people you meet and interact with when you deal with amateur radio. I haven't met too many of those kind of people dealing with CB radio. They might be there, but I don't know. So in any case, you guys, we have many, many ways to deal with what's happened to our great nation peacefully, lawfully, and within our rights given to us by our Constitution. Now, Joe Biden, as you might know, has just announced that any stimulus for businesses is only going to people of color and women. Well, you know what? Even in this broken court system, that can be beat down instantly, because that is totally against the law. There's even people on the left that are not going to buy into that. And, hey, Mr. Weenie Schnitzel, just a note to you. Just because a bunch of criminals that you love stole an election, it doesn't mean Trump lost. It means the election was stolen from him. Now, why is that an important distinction? Because some might say that's a distinction without a difference at this point in time, because in 10 days, he's not going to be president anymore, right? Well, here's the problem with your side. We have the truth on our side. You have nothing but lies and deceit and illegality on your side. So, good for you. It's what's known as a Pyrrhic victory. Look that up. So anyway, my good friends, I have, you know, I'm still in the Twitter sewer. Forgive me, I have not deleted my account yet. I've actually lost half of my not so many followers because I got shadow banned on Twitter years ago from the radio show days. They decided to, I'll be right with you, Mike. They decided to, you know, cut my followers on Twitter long ago. So I've actually not swam in the Twitter sewer. For I'm on the air. I'll bring you on when I'm ready, buddy. You're just there listening right now. So,
okay. Yeah, I'm watching you.
Hang on, man. I'm talking. I'll bring you on in a minute, Mike.
Okay.
I shouldn't have answered, but I wanted you to know I was there. See? So anyway, our guest is with us, as you can tell. And when I get done, we're going to bring Mr. Mike on. And we'll talk about some of these things. So now I just wanted to finish up. Years ago, they limited my reach on the Twitter sewer. And probably after this broadcast, I will delete my account on Twitter because, you know, I've lost half of my followers already because everybody's leaving Twitter because of what they did to the president, what they're doing to conservatives in general on Twitter. And so that just ties into what I was talking to you about before. We're going to have to develop our own communication grid that is not wholly owned by these corporations, and we do not have to time to wait for people to build their own social media empires for this to happen. The immediate way to do it is educate yourself in and around amateur radio. This is where we have to go, people. If you want to continue to communicate as patriots, that's the only place you can go. Now, there's people within that community that are you're going to find out that are against any political speech on those bands. But those people are free to change the channel and go somewhere else if they don't like it. You know, because there's really no formal rule where you cannot communicate and organize politically on amateur radio, even though it's generally frowned upon by that community traditionally. But these are not traditional times, are they, my friends? They are not. So, with that said, I have much more. I want to bring on a man I've known for, 5 years or so. And he's been on my radio show quite a few times. And another thing, he has the distinction of being one of only two of my radio listeners that has had the opportunity to call in and talk to my great guest, Mr. Ted Nugent. We're talking to Mike Paulbisky. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great, JD. Thanks for having me on. And I do want to say you're putting out some great content. You know what? God bless you for your efforts.
Well, I appreciate the accolades, but I don't need them, man. It's something I can't do it. It's something I can't do. As you can, I don't know if you saw the backdrop, but I took that picture where you see the Washington Monument and the, I would say there's 250,000 people in the field of view of my camera right there.
Like you and like so many others, so many other true patriots, I am absolutely disgusted to the core at these horrible, horrible things that have occurred to completely lead this country down the wrong path and lead us to our doom, lead us to our destruction. The one thing in particular that I want to talk about right now is something that I really don't think is getting enough attention, and that is the shooting of Ashley Babbitt. I saw the videos, and I have to say I was appalled, I was disgusted, I was sickened beyond belief, because I'll tell you what, that is not like any police shooting that I have ever seen. I think you know that I was in law enforcement. I think you know that I support law enforcement and have all my life. But I will tell you, when I have seen on those videos, that was a murder. I am appalled. I am disgusted. Let me tell you what I saw. You were there. Maybe you know more. Maybe you can chime in and correct me if I'm wrong. But I'll tell you what I saw with a couple different videos. She was in a large crowd. And there was uniformed police officers standing within close proximity of her. She starts to climb through the window. Now, they could have grabbed her. They could have prevented her from going through the window, and if need be, they could have threw her on the ground and handcuffed her, which is a hell of a lot better than being shot. But no, that didn't happen. What I saw happen was a plainclothes guy on the other side of the window who positioned himself out of her line of sight, positioned himself up against the wall, drew his weapon, and waited. He waited for her to crawl through sufficiently enough so that he could have a nice, clear shot. When she started to crawl through enough, he took several quick steps forward so he could get within extremely close range, and he shot her. There was no warning. There was no voice commands.
That is the most egregious part right there. No warning, no command, and to stop or halt or anything like that. And I guarantee you, because sadly, I had the opportunity to speak with Ashley before all this happened. I happened to run into her in the crowd. I didn't realize it until I saw several different pictures of her, because she did quite a few interviews with a bunch of people. And I briefly spoke with her, and she's just a normal lady that was there for the same reason I was there, man.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that's true. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm a skeptical person, right? I don't believe everything I see. And there's a whole lot of stuff that I hear that I don't believe. So when I saw those videos, I questioned them, right? And I questioned them, and I tell you what, after doing some research and really looking, I believe those videos that I saw were an accurate depiction of what occurred. That was an ambush killing. That was like a hit. That was like more like a mafia hit than a police shooting. That guy laid in wait with his gun drawn out of her line of sight, waiting for her to creep through sufficiently enough so that he had a clear shot. He scrambled forward at the last minute, and he shot her. Why is that not being addressed? Why is the media largely silent about that? That is horrific. I'll tell you one thing, and you're going to agree with me on this. If she had been black, and if this was a Black Lives Matter protest, Washington, D.C. would be on fire. It would be burning down over that.
Let's address that for a minute, and you're 100% right. But see, everybody gets caught up in this. How come it's not fair? They don't. If right. So, we do something, they don't do anything. But if the other one does it, it's all of a sudden it's the worst thing in the world. Here's the thing: you can't think of it in that way, because everything that happens in a media reaction is agenda driven. So you have to put it in that framework. If the situation forwards their agenda by complaining about it, then they complain about it. If it forwards their agenda to suppress any complaints about it, that's what they do. They give a shit not, pardon my language, folks, whether or not there's any justice, righteousness, legality, or any which way about any given situation when it comes to these deaths and these riots that have been happening all year. So it's all about the agenda. So if you want to know why nothing's being said about Ashley Babbitt's murder, it's because it doesn't forward the agenda.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely correct. You know, to them, the end justifies the means. They will do anything and everything to push their agenda forward. No matter how sinister it may be, they will do anything and everything to push their agenda forward. Here we have Nancy Pelosi saying that she's terrified by the mob at the Capitol. Where was her outrage over Portland burning down? Over all the fires, the looting, the destruction? How about Minneapolis?
Again, her outrage? Again, it's about the agenda.
Correct.
Because
that's right.
When those groups are doing that, it forwards their agenda. That's why it is the way it is. And there's nothing we're going to be able to do about that. We're not going to win that battle. We've been pointing out left-wing hypocrisy for 50 frickin' years. So continuing to do that is, we need to continue to do that, but we should not ever expect any result from pointing out what has obviously been there since Marx himself.
Let me say, if I may, one thing that I do think that we need to do much, much more aggressively. We all need to be loud and proud with our message, more so than ever before. Silence is consent. As Edmund Burke said, evil prevails when good men do nothing. Now, I am not advocating that we break the law. I'm not advocating that we go out and commit random acts of violence like the left-wing scumbags have done. We're better than that. But I think that we need to be united in a very loud, proud, assertive message. And I will tell you, there is still too many so-called conservatives, still too many Trump supporters who don't want to be confrontational, who want to stop short of confrontation. And I will tell you, J.D., you know how I've been on Facebook. I spend more time in Facebook jail than I do being...
Yeah, I don't even know what happened to you the last couple of years.
Exactly. That's because I will not be shut up. And I'll tell you what happens. There's lots of Trump supporters who don't want to take things that far. Now, again, I'm not advocating breaking the law now. I want to be real clear about that. But these are people who have told me repeatedly, Mike, you're too aggressive. Mike, you know what? You're just a little bit harsh. Mike, you know what? Take the high road. No, taking the high road is taking the wrong road. That is part of the reason why we are in this mess, is because we have allowed ourselves to be a doormat. And when you're a doormat, you will be walked on. And let me say this. I'll tell you who said it best. Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich said, Republicans play badminton and the Democrats play professional football. How are we going to win if we play badminton while they're playing professional football?
And what I would add to your analogy and kind of alter it this way. I think we need to redefine what the high road is to incorporate more effective tactics. And we ought to take a little bit of a lesson from the left and stick together and quit beating the hell out of each other over whether you should do this or should do that. And just back everybody. Now, the Antifa and the scumbags that were the agents provocateurs that tried to make this righteous indignation show of force of citizens at the Capitol turn it into something that was literally supposed to burn the Capitol down, so they failed on that vein. But they did cause the damage, and what they did do is allow the media narrative to be used to the advantage of the lefties. So in that way, they do have a small Pyrrhic victory in what they've done to our demonstration on the 6th. So we need to learn from this. We need to learn that waving around Trump flags is not going to get us what we need. We have to get a whole lot tougher. And what I mean by that is we need to take these people on in an intellectual manner. Now, I got some douchebag here on Twitter trying to give us a problem on the chat here. I don't have the time to go block his ass, and so I'm not going to. But here's the thing. Whenever I'm on Facebook and I get attacked by something like that, some pea brain like that, I usually drown them with my intellectual prowess, and there's not that much to go around, but I have enough that makes them look like, you know, the lower half of the two-digit spectrum IQ that they have, and they usually go away. If you fight them with intellect, 9 times out of 10, these morons don't know what to do with that, Mike.
No, I totally agree. But let me say this, and this is something that may not go over well with some patriots. I'm going to say this anyway. Saul Alinsky was extremely evil. We know that. He was a horrible, horrible, poor excuse for a human being. We know that. But the man was a genius. He was extremely intelligent, and his tactics work. Now, I'm not saying we should break the law. And again, I don't want to go in that direction. I'm not saying that we should do horrible things. But one thing he did say, he said, ridicule is man's best weapon. So what I'm getting at is this. Many, many times people have told me, Mike, you know, you're arguing with these left-wingers. You're never going to convince them. They're never going to come around to our way of thinking. Well, you know, that's probably true. And if somebody can convince them in those rare occasions when that actually could be done, well, that is the best-case scenario. But I'll tell you what. The worst thing to do is to remain quiet. Silence is consent. Even if you are fighting back ineffectively, even if you'll never convince them, but you're still fighting back.
At least you're fighting.
Correct. At least they're getting resistance.
You don't give them your consent with your silence. That's a great point. And I want to add something to what you said about Alinsky, okay? Yeah. His, I don't even know that he was that evil. Because, and I'll tell you why. Now, I don't believe in his idea systems and his politics, but he had integrity to his own cause, which is something you cannot say for Republicans. Now, Saul Alinsky is far more respectable as a human being than these frickin' reprobates that call themselves Republicans.
You know something on that note? You know something that made me cringe on that note? Trey Gowdy. I thought Trey Gowdy was fairly solid. Now, I lost some respect for him because I thought he was largely ineffective. He was pumped up as this great orator, and he is, but he didn't do nearly as much as I was hoping for.
Okay. He's all hat, no cattle, my friend.
Well, okay, there you go. All right, but here's what I saw, and it was on Fox News. If I'm not mistaken, he was speaking to Maria Bartiromo, I think that is her name. And he was alluding to the fact that Trump was inciting violence. He is a conservative, and he is alluding to the fact on Fox News that Trump is inciting violence. He said something like to Maria Bartiromo, "Did you listen to Trump's speech?" And she said, "I did." Then he says, "Then you tell me who was inciting this." Trump was inciting. He was trying to put the blame on President Trump, just like the left-wingers are doing. That is ludicrous. Trump did not incite violence. Trump incited patriotism. At no point did President Trump encourage lawbreaking.
He said peacefully march, and I don't know if you knew this, but he was expecting our pal Alex Jones to lead part of that with a bullhorn and make sure that they don't get out of hand. While he left, there was already 200,000 people down there before Alex and his bullhorn even got there, I hate to tell you.
Well, we have such extreme cowardice. We have such extreme cowardice on the part of Republicans that I'm going to have to change my party. I'm going to go independent, or I'm going to do something else. I don't want to be affiliated with cowards like that. We have the Supreme Court, which I believe acted in a very cowardly fashion by refusing to hear the Texas case. That was appalling. And then you have Mike Pence, who certifies a fraudulent election. He didn't do the right thing. He could have kicked it back to committee. He could have had it reviewed. He didn't do that. He could have kicked it back and had the whole thing reviewed for at least 10 days. That's what Trump wanted. That was reasonable to me. Now, let me say this, JD. We are not asking people to charge a well-fortified machine gun nest on Iwo Jima. Now, as you know, that's been done in our history.
By 18-year-old men, I might add.
Correct. That took history. That took some serious, serious courage. We're not asking people to do that. We're simply asking people to do the right thing. Yeah, Mike Pence, he would have faced some political backlash, you bet. He would have got some ridicule. So what if he did?
He would have got sued is what would have happened, because they would have argued he didn't have the power as the presiding officer of that procedure to do that. So he would have got sued. But by that time, the audit would have had time to have been done, okay? So it was the right thing to do, even though I believe you and I may part ways on this, but I believe that Ted Cruz is full of crap. And I'll tell you why I say that, because when it came down to it, he used what happened at the Capitol on the 6th as an excuse to only object to two states. Even if he would have won those and flipped those two states, it couldn't have possibly affected the election. So to me, Cruz was nothing but kabuki theater to begin with. So he's trying to please both sides, keep his conservative creds up yet and not actually get himself into any trouble. He's a very crafty individual, but I never have trusted him. I don't like the way he conducted his campaign in 16. I thought he was crooked and underhanded, and I think that what he did to Secretary of Mike Ben Carson, what he did to Ben Carson is what his campaign did, and he denied it happened and all that kind of stuff. I don't hold a whole lot of respect for Ted Cruz, but I know that there's a lot of people that do, and I get it. But I think that even if we would have got the 10 days, what in the hell? Let me ask you this. Why did Ted Cruz use that as an excuse to only object to 2 of the 7 states that could have been ejected on? Do you have any input on that one?
No, I don't. In fact, to be very candid with you, I didn't know that went down like that. It just appears to me that the only one with any real courage is President Trump. All these other Republicans, they just, you know, they any which way the wind blows, that's the direction they're going.
And I got news for you. Trump really isn't even a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's not a political animal. This guy is a guy who say, hey, we got a problem. Let's figure out how to fix it. That's what President Trump is, and he has a lot of flaws, but we love him, and the reason we love Trump is because he was the only one that ever had the guts to step up and say, I'm for you, I'm going to return power back to you, which I hate to admit at this point he failed at.
You know what? I don't like that comment, he failed at it. I mean, I think that he did a tremendous amount of good. I think that his incredible accomplishments will stay with us. I think that his incredible accomplishments cannot be intelligently denied. I think that the man was amazing. Now, you say he failed. A lot of that...
He failed at giving us our power back. So let me just expound upon that just for a little bit now. And you're more than welcome to disagree with me on anything. We don't run any kind of a cult here, so I don't mind being disagreed with. But let me explain my comments. He didn't fail as a president. He was the most successful president almost in history. I would put President Trump in the top 5. And maybe even the top 3. So that's not what I mean about him failing. I mean, when he gave his inaugural address, he said, we're going to return the power from D.C. back to the people. Now, he didn't fail in trying to do that. He tried every day in office to do that. But he failed, and he failed not of his own fault in most of the cases. Here's the problem. President Trump had the opportunity to clamp down on the social media mega monopolies that are more powerful than any government in the world. He did not do it. He even made the comment to his lawyer, says, yeah, but they'll not shut me down. Where is he now? He shut down in the most critical part of, one could argue, his whole administration in the next 10 days. Secondly, he also had the power, Mike, to not only shut down or break up or do something with this social media mess we have right now. Not only that, he had also the power to do something about all the criminal activity around the election before it happened, and he didn't do it. He relied upon people he thought were honest enough to do the right thing. Now, he is a wonderful man, but he trusted people that stabbed him in the back. And what that means is the other thing he did, in my view, is wrong. He had too much respect for the judicial system. He should have been more like Andrew Jackson, do what he needed to do, and then tell the judicial system, okay, you ruled against me, now let's see you enforce it. Go ahead and comment on that.
Well, you know, I want to say this. Trump is not finished, okay? The Patriot movement, the Trump movement, is not finished. We've been injured, but we're still strong, and we are absolutely going to press forward. We are not going to lay down. I absolutely believe Trump is going to continue in his political cause, and I think that, yes, mistakes were made. I think overall he did an absolutely fantastic job. He is a human being. It didn't go perfectly for him. Obviously, think of this, J.D. Think of the incredible resistance that he faced, the lies, the cheating, the fraud, all these things that happened against him. How could any man survive that? I do not know. He did much better than anybody else, I think, ever.
I don't think there's a man that could come close, or woman, that could come close to take all the flack that President Trump took. There's no question about that. None.
Outrageous, yes. And evil and wrong. I mean, again, you talked about agenda. You're absolutely right. They will do anything, anything to force their agenda, no matter how dirty and how terrible it is, they will do it. And, you know, again,
I feel sorry for these dimwits, like the guy that's been, you know, trolling us here, because they truly believe that they've accomplished something by, it's still yet to be seen as true because there is 10 more days, but they think they've removed President Trump from the presidency. And I got to say, that's why I call it a Pyrrhic victory, because you're going to wake up enough people that care, understand what freedom, the value of it is, and they care about it, to where the Republican Party has not only self-destructed, but so has the Democrat Party. And this is going to, and up until a couple of weeks ago, I felt different about this. I was saying we need to take over the Republican Party, oust all the criminals out of it, and take the infrastructure that they built and put patriots in it and go forward with the Republican Party. I am no longer so strong about that course of action. I think perhaps we ought to go with the Patriot Party or whatever the dominant. I think that might be the dominant movement right now. And it started right here in Arizona, and it's going nationwide. Third party might be the way, because I can tell you this. I know Democrats that are not happy with this at all. And I know Democrats that would only denounce President Trump because it was in vogue in their circles to do so. But deep inside, they're saying, you know, he was, you know, I'm better off under President Trump than I was any of these Democrats. When it came, until it came up to the coronavirus farce, BS, crap. But here, and I'm going to blend that in just a little bit and say, when you have a populace that is so easily misled down into the path of slavery,
yes,
it's no wonder that we are where we are politically. Your comments, Mike.
I think President Trump, as I said, is not done fighting. I think he's probably going to want to push harder than ever. I think that the Patriot Party is a great idea. I think he's going to push in that direction. He's thinking, and I'm sure you've heard this rumor, he's thinking of starting his own social media platform.
He should have done that 4 years ago.
Correct. But you know what? Things change, and he very well may do it now, and I would be happy to jump on board that platform. I think that the man, I think that the man is a hero. I mean, he gave up a billionaire's lifestyle to jump into the fire to help save this country, donating his salary, doing incredible things and putting up with an absolute hellish nightmare experience. Totally unfair, totally biased, totally, totally fraudulent and against him. And yet he persisted. I have great respect for President Trump, and I hope that he's going to be able to run in 2024.
Well, they're trying to prevent that, and they're scared to death of that fact that he might do that, because, and the only way they can prevent it is to impeach him. Once again, because I understand, I've heard in the media anyway, that if you are impeached twice, you cannot rerun for office. I don't that's even right. know if that's true or not, because I don't see that in the Constitution anywhere. I've read the Constitution. It doesn't say that, by the way.
I've heard the same thing, and again, I'm not completely sure if that's true, but I have heard the same thing. I'm sure it would also be true with the 25th Amendment, but you know, again, I hope he's able to do that. I hope he's able to run. If he doesn't run, then maybe Don Jr. could follow in his footsteps. I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to play out. But I do know that there is tens of millions of very proud patriots who love this country. There's a 75 million people voted for President Trump, and those are the votes that we know of. What about all the votes that were destroyed? There's probably well over 80 million.
I think he did actually get 80 million. That would be my estimate, my educated guess. I think you're right. And I'll tell you something else. When I was standing there, you see, when you were looking at the picture of the behind me, I don't know if you still are or not in your social media or anything, but Behind me is a picture of a Washington Monument, and just to the south of that was where I was standing, south of the ellipse, and I was like three Jumbotrons back because I didn't really care to be all up in the crowd yet, because I knew I was going to go through that on the march over to the Capitol. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is I was standing in a sea of people of over a million. And at one point in time, they broke into "We love you, President Trump," you know. And there has never been a president in American history that the people have openly done something like that for. So your sentiment is my sentiment, is the sentiment of tens and tens and tens of millions of people. Even though we know that this man is imperfect and he could have done this and he could have done that and he could have prevented this and that and the other thing, this guy is loved by the American people, and he is a hero because his courage and and his effort to turn things around in this country may just be the spark, the impetus that actually does serve for this republic to buck the trend of history that by now most republics are dead, as we know, as students of history. So maybe, just maybe, our hero, Donald J. Trump, has inspired enough people in this country that we will figure a way through the criminals that have grifted and taken away our liberty and freedom and perverted and pissed on all of our tenets that we hold so dear as American patriots. And somehow maybe we can educate these ignoramuses that think they won something by ousting Donald Trump out of the White House. Maybe there's a chance, Mike.
I'm going to circle back and kind of touch on something I said earlier. Perhaps if this 80 million, perhaps 80 million plus Trump supporters, if they all got loud and proud with the patriot message, if they all got loud and proud and they resisted this totalitarian crushing influence that's coming down on us, that destroys individual freedom, that destroys the Constitution, that destroys the Bill of Rights, if they all got loud and proud and fought back, I think that we could see a cultural shift in this country and we could start to right this ship. But you know what? It's going to require massive, massive numbers of people. And you can't have people like the so many people who ridiculed me and said, Mike, you're a little too loud, or you're a little too proud, or you're a little too... No.
I think those quote-unquote sunshine patriots correct. Are sucking their frickin' thumbs now, buddy.
Oh, dude. You know, this is a fight for the very survival of this nation. And you know what? Right now, we are losing. We are losing this country. It is obvious. We need to buckle down. We need to fight back. And I'm talking about within lawful means, but we need to fight back as hard as we can. We need to be loud. I'll tell you something. Let me break this down. We're just past the holidays here not too long ago. Okay, there was many people that I spoke to said, well, you know, my brother and his wife are coming over for Christmas, and you know, they're liberal and they like to talk about politics, but you know, I don't want to rock the boat at Christmas. Rock the boat is my message. Rock the boat, okay? Don't let them get away with it, okay? Because that kind of thing is destroying this country. And you know what? When people hear lies long enough, they start to embrace it as a truth. And you know that to be a fact. We need to resist. We need to vocally resist those lies, those socialist, totalitarian lies, you know?
Yeah. I got a text from my boss a little earlier today, and he said, did you make it back? And, you know, I didn't know how he, with all the news, I know he's, you know, he watches news all the time, so I didn't know how he was going to take what actually went down over there, how much he knew was true reporting versus what actually went down. So he's, and I said, yeah, but just for the record, I didn't go in. And he said, that's probably good, but I wouldn't have cared if you did. That signaled me that my employee isn't going to be all freaked out that I was, you know, part of the demonstration at the Capitol, you know. And like I said before in the opening, the Patriots that marched down to the Capitol were, you know, a quarter of a million or more of, you know, righteously indignated. With righteous indignation, we marched down there with no intention of doing anybody any harm. But I can tell you this, Mike, I've never been in a big, big, big ass crowd like that before. But I can tell you this much. When the police tear gassed us, when there was absolutely no way for us to get away from the tear gas, they were just doing it to make their point, right? All that did was make us that much more determined to get all the way up there. And that was a big mistake on their part, and they shouldn't have done it.
Let me ask you something, J.D., because obviously you were there. Was there any need for that at all? Was there any reason? Were there people that were breaking down the police barricades? Were they advancing on the police? Was there any reason to use the tear gas that you could see?
Well, I am not in law enforcement, and I can't answer the question of that. But I can tell you this. That crowd was going to come whether they used the tear gas or not, and all they did is piss everybody off. So I think it was foolish. Does that help?
Well, I don't know enough about that one to really comment. But again, I think that the more serious issue is the absolute murder of Ashley Babbitt.
Let me just expound upon that and why I would even talk about the tear gas, okay? Because even though they pissed off the crowd, the people that weren't in helmets, and there was guys standing right next to me that had gas masks, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've been to a lot of Trump rallies and nobody brings gas masks. Who the frick are these guys? That's what I'm thinking,
yeah.
Right? Okay. And so I don't care that they have Trump bumper stickers on their helmets, for God's sake. I didn't have a helmet. You get my point? All right. So anyway, so I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm in this. I don't know who these jokers are, but ain't no little bit of tear gas going to stop me from getting to the door. But I had no intention of going in. And I don't think anybody I was with did either. So here's what happened. Those guys led the way in. The cops let them in for either one of two reasons. Either the cops let everybody in because they're on the right side or they're on the wrong side. And there's no way to tell which of those is true. Either in on trying to make this into something it shouldn't be, or they agreed with the Patriots' sentiment and said, yeah, you know, come on in. Because there was plenty of the Capitol Police sitting there having conversations with the Patriots, taking selfies. The Patriots that went in the Capitol were picking up trash. Okay?
I saw videos to that exact effect. I saw videos absolutely supporting every word you're saying. That, yeah, they were invited in, that the police were standing by in a cordial fashion and letting them come through. That being the case, how can the left say that they invaded the Capitol? They're causing an insurrection.
Well, I have an answer to that, because before Trump was even on stage talking, the first part of the demonstration had made its way down to the Capitol, and that's where the agents provocateurs had broke down barricades. But on the other side of things, on the law enforcement end, the Capitol Police have been told to go direct traffic. There wasn't anything to worry about. There was only a half of the normal force of the Capitol Police. So somewhere in the top, this was rigged so that it would be overrun. You know, they should have had quadruple forces there just to hold us back on the lawn, you know, and we would have just stand there and, you know, had waved our flags and yelled at the damn cops and all that, and we would have been peaceful. But no, there wasn't enough of them to hold back even a small force of protesters. So even though I was in the top 20% or the earliest 20% of the march, I was still there long after all barricades had been totally gone. So by the time I got up to the steps, and there's, you know, several, you know, about the, just before, well, I'd say 20 yards, 25 yards before the steps on the lawn is when I got tear gassed, and they put big clouds of tear gas over everybody, and that just pissed everybody off, made them more determined to get all the way up there. That's all I can tell you. And I never experienced anything like that in my life. I've always been a supporter of law enforcement. I always obey the laws. I believe in peaceful protest. I don't believe in any kind of violence, to make your point, but I can tell you this much. Tear gas and a patriot crowd that's there with righteous indignation was a tactical error, in my opinion.
Well, that clearly makes sense. I want to see justice. I want to see justice for Ashley Babbitt. I cannot believe what I witnessed on video, as I have already said. And I don't see the outrage. I don't see the outrage coming from anywhere. Not from Fox News, not from Newsmax, not from One America News, and certainly not from the lamestream media. I don't see the outrage, and I am appalled by that, because that, to me, is much worse, much more outrageous than what happened to George Floyd.
Yeah, because George Floyd had a lot of his own actions, even more so, caused his own demise, i.e. the drug abuse. True. You know, he died actually of a drug overdose, not of what the cop did to him.
George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose. You're absolutely correct. There was no evidence in the autopsy.
I think he believed he had a stroke and a heart attack at the same time or some shit like that.
There was no evidence of strangulation. There was no evidence of the knee having done any damage to his neck. I can tell you from personal experience, back in my day in law enforcement, we were all trained to use that technique, okay? And it is a good technique when applied properly. It does help restrain very combative individuals. I do think the real mistake here is the fact that that particular officer in question stayed on his neck for 8 minutes, which was way too long.
Yeah, you're looking at 90 seconds max, I think.
Once George Floyd was, in fact, subdued, you handcuff him, you pick him up, you put him in the car.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Oh, I'm not saying the police were all right on the George Floyd thing, right, but George Floyd had a lot to do with his own death, is all I'm saying. And I think a lot less than Ashley had to do with her own death, in my opinion. And I want to add to when we were talking about that, my broadcast from D.C., I errantly said that it went down a certain way. After I got a view of that she actually did climb up there and tried to get in, because I said she was just standing there doing nothing and the cop hit her. That was the wrong angle. That was a video that didn't really show what happened very well. So I wanted to correct that on the show. Those of you who heard me say that, now you've all seen the video probably. And I'm not going to show it tonight. And for the only reason is, you know, they put a sensitive content censure on me when I show that, rightly so, by the way, but I don't really want one on there, because then everybody says, hey, stop doing that to him, and I don't want to go there. But you know, everybody's seen it anyway by now. But the point is, that officer, we were pretty harsh on him earlier, and when we said it was outright murder, chicken shit, stepped right up and without warning killed her. And I agree with that, but I would give him this one little bitty break. I think he was scared.
That's not enough.
No, it's not enough. No. But I think he was I think he was scared.
Let me ask you something, JD. I think you know this as well as I do. When you shoot in the strictest form of self-defense. You shoot to save life and limb. You are there to save your life or the life of somebody else, or you're at the very least shooting to save somebody from great bodily harm.
Yeah.
So there has to be a very serious immediate...
An unarmed 5'3" woman, you know...
Where was the threat?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Where was the immediate threat to life and limb?
And where's the outrage of the police using deadly force when it wasn't necessary, right? That's what your point is.
Oh, that's exactly my point. And the fact that nobody cares. Nobody's talking about it really to speak of. Maybe, I guess you had it on your show earlier, and you know what? Good for you. Yeah, like I said, you've been putting out some good content.
We're going to, there's people that are in the, and I know you're not a big fan, But InfoWars is organizing a fund to make a memorial for Ashley and make her forever a martyr for freedom and liberty in this country. So there are people that do care, and there are people donating money for that cause. So,
well, that's a very good thing, because this was absolutely horrific what happened. I cannot for the life of me see how it could possibly be justified. And like I said, I think that that video of Ashley being shot, in my opinion, was more outrageous than the George Floyd video, which also was wrong. You don't, like we just established, you don't lean on a man's neck with your knee for 8 minutes. That's absolutely excessive force. But that didn't kill him. This killed her. That bullet killed her.
Yeah.
And there was no warning, and there was no reason for it. And how many times...
And there were cops within 6 feet behind her. That idiot could have shot one of the cops. It's wrong on so many levels.
Why couldn't the cops that were behind her simply grab her and pull her out of the window?
I'll tell you why. Because they didn't consider what she was doing a threat, or they would have.
Okay, so they don't think it's a threat, but the guy on the other side shoots her and kills her. Where's the sense in that? Where's the communication?
I see the Capitol Police, the uniformed Capitol Police there in riot gear, were more appalled, are just as appalled by what had happened than the other people standing around that caught her or tried to put her backpack under her head and tried to see if she was going to live. The cops seemed to be just as appalled, to be honest with you.
Oh, they would be. They would be. Any self-respecting police officer who saw that thing go down in that manner would be appalled and would be horrified. That was a ambush murder. I couldn't believe what I saw.
Yeah, and I want to I just want to share this. I want to welcome Mr. Ray to the Article 5 live program here, and I want to read his comment, because this is the first time I noticed Mr. Ray chiming in here. He says, ask yourself, do you really think Trump is going to go out this way? Being silenced, demonized, and knowing what's going to happen to America. That's the million-dollar question, I think. Well, it's a good question, Mr. Ray, and I want to thank you for asking it, and I just wanted to get that in there and get it off the screen and acknowledge his presence. How you doing, Mike Vplex, Nathan Allen, and all you other great contributors, Dale Schmidt, my producer. Thank you guys for all your comments. I want to get that in there while we're talking to Mike Palbitsky, former law enforcement officer and a man I used to refer to as the sage of Facebook, because he always used to put very, very poignant, long comments on Facebook. And I find out, Mike, when I put the long comments on there, they're my best ones, but only my closest followers bother taking the time to read them. And, so I don't know what to do about that. But you used to get plenty of responses to yours back in the day before we were both shadow banned. Now,
that's right.
I get... On a good day, I'll get 100 responses to a post I make, but usually it's, between 30 and 50. We were getting, back in those days, you and I were getting 300 to 500 responses to our posts. Remember that stuff?
I remember it very well. I remember it very well, and I remember it came to a screeching halt. And yes, I absolutely believe I was shadow banned, as you were. And I believe not only was I shadow banned, but again, I was getting suspended constantly for the most trivial, ridiculous of things, the most minor of things. And not only that, but they would go back years and years and years to try to find something that they could suspend me for. It was, what I did is I sent him a message, JD, and I said, am I really that important? You're going through all this effort to go through my history going back 5 years. Just so that you can find something to suspend me for. Am I really that important? Quite frankly, I said, I'm flattered.
Yeah.
Because my whole
You're over the target when they're doing that shit.
That's exactly right. And I said to him, I said, my whole point here was to get under the skin of you treasonous, seditious, anti-American left-wing loons, and thank you for letting me know that I've been successful.
Hang with me a little bit while I play. For those that may have quit watching Fox News like me, I had to find this on other means, but I want to play a little clip, enhanced a little bit by our friends over at BDV. And let's watch a little clip real quick, and you'll hear the audio there, Mike, of none other than our friend Mark Stein on Tucker Carlson's show. Let's check that out real quick. Let's see if I can get this to work.
So I've listened to all this blather for whatever it is, 6 or 7 hours now, where people are saying, starting with the vice president down, oh, this is not who we are. Have you switched on a TV since Memorial Day? This is exactly who we are. So it's okay to burn Wendy's in Atlanta. It's okay to loot Macy's. It's okay to incinerate a precinct house in Minneapolis. It's okay to set up the Chaz Chop Autonomous Republic. But suddenly you expect the capital of the United States, the United States Congress, to be immune from this. That's completely preposterous. Either we have equality before the law and a Wendy's franchisee is entitled to have his property rights as respected as the United States Congress. I've listened to this stuff too. Chad Pergram, I love him and I love his reports. And he says nothing has happened since the British burned down the White House in 1814. So we're supposed to take history and the majesty of the Capitol seriously now. Nancy Pelosi told us she didn't care about old statues. Mitch McConnell said he didn't care about the names of military bases. So suddenly this old building is important now. You can't have that.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
There are some groups that have enjoyed the license to go out and loot and burn every night in American cities. And the more they are not subject to any laws, the more onerous the burden that falls upon the law-abiding, so that they can't go out and open their hair salon. They can't have granny round for Christmas dinner. So we've got a completely bifurcated system where the less law that applies to one group, the more micro-regulated the lives of the other group are. And at some point, that has to give. And whoever is behind this, to a certain degree, that gave today in Washington.
So there you have it. Mark Stein, truth-telling on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox. One of the few things about Fox worth actually having in your living room, Mark Stein on the Tucker Carlson show. And I have to say, it needed to be said what he said, but he could have taken it a lot farther. And I tried to do that at the beginning of the broadcast tonight where I said, listen, a few knuckleheads broke some things. Following a few knuckleheaded agents provocateurs who were paid to make this whole thing go south, which they failed at, in my view. So, you know, I was in the crowd. I know what the sentiment was. There was a 71-year-old man that I marched up the street with who said he barely walked, but he wasn't going to miss this. It was the last thing he ever friggin' did. And he wasn't the only one. We were among a couple of 100,000 friends. And, you know, not everybody, not the million and a half people that were at the Ellipse. Not everybody marched to the Capitol. But I got to tell you, at least 300,000 did. And of those 300,000, 50 or so did some stuff they shouldn't did. Although the guy that went into Nancy Pelosi's office and put his feet on the desk, I actually talked to him afterwards, and he was in a hurry to leave town because they already had his number. But, you know, I actually thought that was kind of funny.
It is kind of funny in a way. It is terribly.
He didn't do anything wrong. Right. He just sat in her chair and put his feet in the desk.
Right, right.
Yeah. Sort of sends a message. Hey, Nan, we see you here. We know how you operate. We know where you operate. You know, that's all he was saying. It was no threat. It was not terrorism. It was a point being made by an American citizen to another American citizen who is not serving her constituency very well.
J.D., let me respond to that statement. I believe the name was Ray, who said that, is Trump really going to go out like this?
Mr. Ray.
Mr. Ray.
Asheem Ray, he used to be the producer, and probably still is, for the Talking One Rockin' Radio Show.
Okay. Regretfully, yeah, I really do think that Trump is going to go out like this because I think he has exhausted every legal option that he has, and I think that he's been met with extreme cowardice by fellow Republicans, and he's been largely thrown under the bus and stabbed in the back. So, yes, I hate to say this, but, yes, I do think he's going to go out like this. However, that does not mean that once he's out of office, he's just going to wither up and blow away. I do think he's going to continue to fight, and I do think that the movement that he created is absolutely going to continue.
I think we're, you know what, Mike, I hate to say this, but I think we're in just a little bit more trouble than that. I think that if President Trump doesn't use the next 10 days to do something very drastic, he and all of his family, along with many, many, many of his supporters, will be locked up, and he won't get the opportunity to do that. I think that's where they're headed, because they are going to accelerate their power grab in a manner that is unprecedented in history on planet Earth. And they know they have to do that, or we're going to come after them. That's where we're at.
Well, all we can do is pray, right?
Basically, it is in God's hands at this point. You're right about that. It's in God's hands. So President Trump still has a couple of options that he could prevent what I just said from happening. And maybe, just maybe, some people on the left in the House and the Senate will have some kind of a come to Jesus moment and stop their own party from destroying what's left of this great nation. We can always hope for that because, you know, a lot of the people that got elected to the House and Senate weren't hardcore leftists, even though they wear a D on their, the D for disgusting or Democrat, whichever one you prefer, on their, apparel. Many of those people aren't reprobates and criminals. They're just ideologically misled and wrong. They are people that are still have some semblance of decency, and they might even be considered to be human beings. I'm saying a very small percentage of these people that call themselves Democrats, okay? But I still believe in humanity enough to believe that there might be a few of them. If there is a few of these such Democrats, they have the power to stop the absolute destruction of this nation, which is exactly what their overlords in the globalist community and the Chinese Communist Party want to see happen in the United States of America. Mike, I'm coming up on an hour and a half, and I don't like to make it longer than that. Your comments.
Wish I could agree with that last part. I just can't. I really do think Trump is definitely going to be leaving office. I don't think he has a magic bag of tricks that's going to save him from that. I do think that Joe Biden at this point is.
Let me clarify. I think the chances of President Trump using any of his options are very, very slim, if any at all. I'm just saying it's not over until 12:01 Eastern Standard Time on January 20th, 2021. It's not over till then, and I think there's very little chance president can do anything right now, but he's still the president, and they're still terrified of him, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Time will tell, obviously, but one thing is for certain. We're going to continue to fight. Regardless of whether President Trump remains in office or not, I personally think he will not be in office. But we're going to continue to fight. President Trump is still going to be the leader of the movement, and we are not finished, not by a long shot.
Well, I'll take that as an encouraging bit of commentary. And I do want to thank you so much for spending a whole hour with me on the air here in Article 5 Live on Facebook, four different Facebooks, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, and VR, and lots of other stuff. Everybody needs to share the broadcast. Everybody needs to support independent media, because you know what happens when you use corporate media. Mike Paul Bitsky, thanks so much for joining us on Article 5 Live. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
All right, you guys. I'll be back throughout the week if I can. If not, I'll definitely see you here on all these channels, if they don't block me, next week, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, Article 5 Live, the best 90 minutes in digital media. Thanks for being there and supporting this broadcast. And we'll see you next time. God bless.